Okay, ready to dive in? Today we're tackling neuron diversity, specifically how incredibly diverse they are.
Yeah, and what this paper does that's so interesting is that it goes beyond just saying, oh, there are all these different kinds of neurons.
Right.
It actually looks at how they're structured and how they connect to make these circuits.
It's like understanding a city, not just by naming the neighborhoods, but like mapping all the streets and alleys,
Yeah.
or like really getting into the nitty-gritty of how everything's connected.
Exactly. And they use this really cool technique called FMST imaging, which basically allows them to reconstruct the entire shape and structure of a neuron.
Wow.
They call that morphology. So they can see not just the neuron's body, but all of its little branches and all of its connections.
So this is like upgrading from a grainy old photo to like a high definition 3D model.
Exactly. And it really lets you see how these things are communicating and how they're connected. And the scale of this project is really impressive.
Okay.
They mapped 1,741 neurons
That's a lot of neurons.
across different brain regions.
Wow. How do you even begin to tackle something like that?
It's a really cool combination of using genetic tools, high resolution imaging, and then sophisticated computational analysis.
Okay.
So they actually use these things called Cre driver lines, which allow them to target specific types of neurons based on their genetic profile.
So it's like they're able to like zoom in on very specific neighborhoods within the brain and really study the architecture in detail.
Exactly. And what they find is that there are these 11 distinct types of what are called projection neurons. And these are the neurons that send long distance signals to other parts of the brain.
Oh, so like they're discovering new routes and highways connecting all the different parts of the city.
Exactly. And some of these neuron types had never been described before.
Wow.
So it's like revealing previously unknown organizational principles within the brain.
So there were surprises along the way.
Absolutely. And they even categorize them into these broader, what they call projection classes, and then transcriptomic subclasses.
So it's like sorting the highways into different types based on like size and destination and traffic flow.
Exactly. It gets really specific.
So we're moving from like this general understanding of neurons to like a very, very specific and organized view.
Exactly. And one of the things they find that's so fascinating is that there are these rules that govern how these neurons connect with each other.
Okay, so there's a method to the madness.
There's a method to the madness.
Tell me more.
So, for example, they find that some neuron types send their signals really broadly to many different brain areas, and they call that divergent projection.
Okay.
Other neurons focus their signals on just a smaller number of targets, and that's convergent projection.
So it's like some neurons are blasting out a radio broadcast for anyone to hear, and other neurons are sending like targeted text messages to very specific recipients.
Exactly. And it just highlights all these different communication strategies that are at play within the brain.
That's so
And
cool.
it doesn't stop there. They also find that some neurons send signals, what they call upward to higher brain areas, and that's feed forward projection.
Okay.
And others send signals back downward to lower areas, and that's feedback projection.
So it's like a two-way communication network where signals are flowing both up and down the chain of command.
Exactly. And then the final piece of the puzzle is something called topographic organization.
Okay.
And this means that the location of a neuron cell body often predicts where its axons will project to.
Okay.
So it creates like a spatial map within the brain.
I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together. It's like they've uncovered the traffic patterns and rules of the road for the brain's very complex transportation system.
Exactly. And so this research focuses specifically on these projection neurons, which are like the long distance highways of the brain.
Yeah.
And are you ready to dive into some specific examples?
Absolutely. Let's get into some of these individual travel routes and see how they all connect.
All right, so let's start with a type of neuron called cortical IT neurons. And these are found in the outer layers of the brain, the cortex.
Yeah, okay.
And these neurons, they communicate within the cortex, but they also project to a brain area called the striatum, which is involved in things like movement and reward.
So they play a role in both our thoughts and our actions.
Exactly. And what's interesting is they find that these L5 IT neurons, which are in a deeper layer of the cortex, they have more projection targets than the L23 IT neurons, which are in a more superficial layer.
So even within a single type of neuron, there's variation depending on where it's located.
It's super specific.
It's like different neighborhoods within the cortex have different traffic patterns.
Exactly. And that just highlights the level of detail that this research is able to get to. Now let's move on to cortical L5ET neurons.
Okay.
These are like the long-haul truckers of the brain. They send signals to far-off regions like the thalamus, the midbrain, even the medulla, which is part of the brainstem.
Wow, that's some serious long-distance communication. I imagine these neurons play a pretty important role in coordinating different brain functions.
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating is that there's a lot of diversity even within this group.
Okay.
Some L5ET neurons, they project to many different targets. We call those generalists. And others are much more specialized and focus on just a few key destinations.
So it's like some truck drivers make deliveries all over the country, and others have a specific route that they stick to. Does this specialization reflect different functions of these neurons?
I think that's a great analogy. And yeah, it's very likely that this specialization is linked to what these neurons are doing.
Okay.
Like some of them might be involved in controlling movement, others might be involved in processing sensory information.
Okay, so far we've got IT neurons connecting within the cortex and to the striatum, and L5ET neurons sending signals to these distant brain regions. What other fascinating routes have they mapped out in this brain city?
All right, well, let's talk about claustral and cortical CAR3 neurons. Now, these are interesting because they have really widespread projections throughout the cortex,
Yeah.
but they don't project to the striatum.
So it's like they have their own separate highway system within a specific district of the brain.
That's a great way to think about it. And what's particularly striking is their topographic organization.
Okay.
Their projection patterns are closely linked to their location within the brain.
Oh, interesting.
It's like they form this precise spatial map,
Okay.
ensuring that information flows really smoothly and efficiently within that cortical region.
Okay, I'm seeing a recurring theme here. This spatial organization seems to be like a key principle of the brain's wiring, like a well-planned city with designated zones and routes for efficient traffic flow.
Absolutely. And we see this in other neurons as well.
Okay.
So, for example, the thalamic core and matrix neurons,
Okay.
these neurons, they relay sensory and motor information between the thalamus and the cortex.
So they're like the grand central station of the brain, handling all the incoming and outgoing sensory and motor traffic.
Yeah,
That's a busy spot.
a very busy spot. And they found a really fascinating distinction in their projection patterns.
Okay.
So core neurons, they have very focused projections to specific cortical areas,
Okay.
like express trains heading to their designated terminals. Matrix neurons, on the other hand, they have these more diffuse projections to multiple cortical areas, more like local trains making multiple stops along their route.
Okay.
So again, we see this theme of specialization versus
Yeah,
generalization.
some neurons have very specific roles, and others act as more general information relays.
Oh.
It's amazing how this diversity allows for such a complex and adaptable system.
Absolutely. And finally, we have the striatal medium spiny neurons.
Okay.
And these neurons, they project to either the GPE or the SNR, which are key components of something called the basal ganglia circuit, which is involved in movement reward habit formation.
Yes, the basal ganglia. It's all about fine-tuning those motor skills and learning from our experiences.
Exactly. And what's interesting about these striatal neurons is that their projections are highly convergent. So imagine a large funnel where lots of information is being channeled into a specific area. And this convergence is thought to play a really important role in refining and selecting actions.
It's like a filtering system, consolidating all the incoming information to make sure we're making the right decisions and executing our actions smoothly.
Exactly. Now, an interesting thing about this research is that while they focus primarily on the physical morphology of neurons,
Right.
they also look at their molecular profiles using a technique called RetroSeq.
Okay, retrosec. So that's where they analyze the genes that are active in these neurons, right?
Exactly.
It's like looking under the hood of a car to understand how each component contributes to the overall performance.
Exactly. And by combining this molecular data with the morphological data, they were able to explore how closely those two aspects align.
So did they find that neurons with similar shapes also had similar gene expression patterns?
At a broad level, yes.
Okay.
Neurons belonging to the same major subclass based on their gene expression, they tended to have similar shapes and projection patterns.
Okay.
However, when they delved deeper into the details, it got a lot more interesting.
Right.
They often found a mismatch between gene expression clusters and the finer details of projection patterns within those broader subclasses.
So neurons that look similar based on their genes could actually have different connections.
Yeah, it seems like genes sort of lay the foundation.
Okay.
But then there are other factors, like maybe the neuron's developmental history or its interactions with other neurons that also contribute to its unique wiring pattern.
So it's like genes provide the blueprint for a house, but then the interior design and the landscaping depend on the homeowner's preferences and the surrounding environment.
That's a great analogy. It really highlights the dynamic interplay between nature and nurture in shaping the brain.
We've talked a lot about this idea of topographic organization, but is there more to this concept than just location influencing connections?
Yeah, they actually give specific examples of this topographic relationship in different neuron types. So remember those thalamic neurons that relay sensory and motor information?
Yes.
Well, they found that the position of a thalamic neuron's cell body in a particular nucleus actually corresponds to the location of its axon terminals in its target cortical area.
So it's like a three-dimensional map where the location of the thalamus directly corresponds to a specific location in the cortex.
Exactly. And it's not just a simple one-to-one mapping either.
Okay.
They discovered a fascinating three-dimensional rotation involved in this spatial relationship.
Okay, now my brain is doing a three-dimensional rotation trying to picture that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to visualize, but think of it this way. If you had two separate maps, one of the thalamus and one of the cortex,
Okay.
the connections between them wouldn't be straight lines. They'd be rotated like the top of one map connecting to the side of the other,
Okay.
creating this more intricate and efficient wiring pattern.
It sounds complex, but I guess it makes sense that the brain would optimize its wiring for efficiency.
Absolutely. And this topographic organization isn't limited to thalamic neurons.
Yeah, okay.
They found a similar, although slightly less precise, relationship in those cortical L5ET neurons that project the thalamus.
So the location of the neuron's cell body in the cortex predicts where its axons will terminate in the thalamus, even though they're long-distance connections.
That's right. And even those striatal medium spiny neurons we talked about earlier, the ones involved in movement and reward,
Yeah.
they show a topographic relationship in their projections to the GPE and the SNR.
Wow. So this topographic organization really seems to be a recurring theme throughout the brain, like a fundamental principle of its wiring.
Yeah, it's like a well-organized city with specific zones and efficient routes for everything.
With all this talk about potential applications, I'm getting really excited about the future of brain science.
Yeah.
It feels like we're on the cusp of some truly transformative discoveries.
I think so too, but I think one of the big questions is what does all of this mean for us?
Right, why should we care about these tiny neurons and their intricate connections?
Well, for me, this research is groundbreaking because it provides like a blueprint for understanding how the brain works at a level of detail we've never seen before.
So it's not just about neurons anymore. It's about understanding how they work together to create our thoughts and emotions and behaviors.
Exactly. And with this blueprint, we can start tackling some really profound
No, like
questions,
what?
like how individual differences in neuronal connections might contribute to personality traits,
Okay.
like introversion or extroversion,
Oh, interesting.
or even more complex things like intelligence or predisposition to certain mental health conditions.
So you're saying that our unique wiring patterns could explain why some people are more outgoing while others are more reserved, or why some excel at math while others are more artistic.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
That's incredible. It would revolutionize how we approach education and personal development.
And if we could understand those connections, we might even be able to develop personalized treatments
Okay.
that are tailored to an individual's unique brain wiring.
So it's like personalized medicine for the brain.
Exactly. Imagine the possibilities for addressing things like mental health challenges or neurological disorders.
That's truly remarkable. Are there any other potential applications of this research?
Oh, absolutely. This research could lead to breakthroughs in things like enhancing learning and memory.
Okay.
Imagine being able to optimize learning strategies based on how information is encoded and retrieved by different types of neurons.
Okay, now you're talking about things like brain training and cognitive enhancement. It sounds almost like science fiction.
It might sound futuristic, but it's all grounded in solid scientific principles.
Yeah.
Imagine learning a new language in a fraction of the time or effortlessly recalling vast amounts of information.
That would be amazing. But for now, I'm still processing everything we've learned so far about these different neuron types and their connections.
Yeah, it is a lot to absorb.
It's incredibly fascinating.
But I think it highlights just how complex and intricate the brain truly is, and we've only scratched the surface. Remember, we also touched on this connection between morphology and molecular profiles.
Yes.
Are you ready to delve into those details?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm eager to learn more about how those two aspects relate to each other. You mentioned that they use a technique called RetroSeq to analyze gene expression in specific neurons, right?
That's right. And by combining this molecular data with the morphological data, they uncovered some really fascinating insights into how genes and neuronal structure interact.
So do they find that neurons with similar shapes
Yeah.
also had identical gene expression patterns?
It's not quite that straightforward.
Okay.
They did find a general correspondence at a broad level.
Okay.
So neurons belonging to the same major subclass based on their gene expression tended to have similar shapes and projection patterns.
Uh-huh.
However, the details revealed a more nuanced picture.
Okay.
They often found a mismatch between gene expression clusters and the finer details of projection patterns within those broader subclasses.
So even though two neurons might share a similar genetic blueprint, their actual connections and functions could vary significantly.
Yeah, it is, and it suggests that gene expression alone doesn't tell the whole story.
Oh.
There must be other factors that are influencing how those genes are translated into the physical structure and connections of individual neurons.
So what are some of those other factors? If genes aren't the only determinant of neuron diversity,
yeah,
what else is shaping these intricate connections?
That's a great question, and it's one of the big mysteries this research opens up.
Yeah.
It could be that certain genes are switched on or off at different stages of development, leading to variations in wiring patterns, even among neurons with similar genetic backgrounds.
Yeah. So it's not just which genes are present, but also when and where they're activated that determines the final outcome.
Exactly.
It's like having all the ingredients for a cake, but the baking process and timing ultimately determine the final taste and texture.
Exactly. And another possibility is that the activity of a neuron itself influences its connections.
Okay.
Remember, the brain is constantly changing and adapting based on our experiences. So the connections between neurons are likely sculpted by the signals they receive and transmit, creating this dynamic feedback loop.
So it's a two-way street. Genes influence wiring. But wiring can also influence gene expression that makes the brain incredibly adaptable and responsive to its environment.
It does, but this raises another question. If gene expression doesn't fully explain neuron diversity, what are we missing?
Yeah, what other factors could be at play?
That's a question researchers are actively exploring.
Okay.
It's possible that factors like the surrounding environment, the presence of certain molecules, or even random developmental variations could all contribute to this fine-tuning of neural connections.
It's amazing to think about all these factors working together to shape the incredible complexity of the brain.
Yeah.
It's like an orchestra with genes providing the sheet music, but individual neurons interpreting and improvising to create the final symphony.
That's a beautiful analogy, and it emphasizes how this research, while groundbreaking, is just the beginning.
Right.
It's given us a map, but we've only just begun to explore this vast, uncharted territory of the brain.
With all this talk about potential applications,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting really excited about the future of brain science.
Me too.
It feels like we're on the cusp of some truly transformative discoveries.
I agree, but before we get ahead of ourselves, let's dive back into the specifics of this research.
Okay.
One of the most compelling aspects is this use of RetroSeq to analyze gene expression in specific neurons.
Right. So by examining the genes that are active in specific neurons, they were able to gain a deeper understanding of how those neurons function and connect with each other.
Exactly. And they found some really interesting patterns.
Like what?
Well, for example, they discovered that certain genes were highly expressed in neurons that projected to specific brain regions.
Okay.
Suggesting that those genes might play a role in guiding those connections.
So it's like those genes are providing directions, telling the neurons where to go and how to connect with their target destinations.
That's a great way to put it. They also found that some genes were specifically expressed in neurons with certain morphological features,
okay.
suggesting that those genes might influence the shape and structure of those neurons.
So genes not only determine the destination, but also the vehicle used to get there.
Right.
Some might become long-distance trucks, while others form local delivery vans, depending on their genetic instructions.
That's right. It's this fascinating interplay between genes and morphology, with each influencing the other in complex ways.
Okay, this is all starting to click for me.
Right.
Now we've got genes laying the foundation, environmental factors fine-tuning the connections and activity, shaping the final wiring pattern. But this raises another question. If we can map the connections of individual neurons, could that information be used in ways that we haven't even considered?
That's a crucial question to consider. As with any powerful technology, there's always the potential for misuse.
Right.
And as our understanding of the brain grows, we need to be incredibly mindful of how we use that knowledge.
Yeah, it's like we're holding this powerful new lens to examine the brain, but we need to be responsible with how we use it. I'm also thinking back to all the potential applications we discussed earlier. It's both exciting and a little daunting to think about how this knowledge could impact our lives in the future. As we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious to hear your final thoughts on the big picture. What are some of the most significant implications of this research?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway for me is that we're finally moving beyond the limitations of traditional brain imaging techniques.
Okay.
You know, instead of these blurry blobs of activity, we can now zoom in and see the intricate connections of individual neurons.
Right, like going from a satellite view of a city to actually walking the streets and seeing how people interact and move about their daily lives.
Exactly. And this new level of detail allows us to ask much more specific questions about how the brain works.
Okay.
So, for instance, we can start investigating how different types of neurons contribute to specific cognitive functions.
So instead of just saying that a certain brain region is involved in memory, we can pinpoint which neurons within that region are actually responsible for encoding and retrieving memories.
Precisely. And this opens up exciting possibilities for developing more targeted treatments for memory disorders like Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, wow.
Imagine being able to develop therapies that specifically target the neurons involved in memory formation or retrieval.
That would be incredible. So it's not just about understanding the healthy brain. It's also about gaining a deeper understanding of what goes wrong in diseases and disorders.
Absolutely. I think this research has the potential to revolutionize our understanding of a wide range of brain disorders, from autism and schizophrenia to Parkinson's disease and beyond.
It's like having this new roadmap to navigate these complex conditions, allowing us to develop more precise and effective interventions.
Exactly. By understanding how neuronal connections are disrupted in these disorders, we can start to develop therapies that address the underlying causes rather than just treating the symptoms.
This is all incredibly promising. But it's also crucial to consider the ethical implications of this research as we move forward.
You're absolutely right. As our understanding of the brain deepens, we need to be incredibly mindful of how we apply this knowledge.
Right.
Open and honest conversations about the ethical implications of brain research are essential.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that safeguards are in place to prevent misuse and to guarantee that this knowledge is used responsibly for the benefit of all.
It's a delicate balance between scientific progress and social responsibility. We need to proceed with both curiosity and caution. This deep dive has been truly eye-opening. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the complexity and beauty of the brain.
I agree. And the most exciting part is that we're just at the beginning of this journey of discovery. There's so much more to explore.
Right.
And as we continue to delve into the mysteries of the brain, we're bound to uncover even more surprises and challenges.
I, for one, am eager to see where this research leads us. It's a truly remarkable time to be following the advancements in neuroscience.
I couldn't agree more. It's a privilege to be a part of this incredible field, and who knows, maybe one day we'll be able to fully understand the intricate workings of this remarkable organ.
Now, that would be the ultimate deep dive. Thanks for joining me on this fascinating exploration.
It's been my pleasure.